Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters, folks. This is AJ Hockery, and I'll be your host for the first part of our show today. It's a very special episode because the Movie Addict Players are debuting their first radio skit. Our cast features Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, co-authors of the award-winning romantic memoir, It Had to Be Us. But, as you'll hear in our little drama, sometimes all is not well in the Lawrence household. We'll be listening into their conversations while driving to and from the multiplex to see Eat, Pray, Love one Friday afternoon earlier this year. In scene one, we meet Harry and Elizabeth on their way to Tinseltown. And action!
What's this Eat, Pray, Love movie all about, dear? You already read the book, right?
Yes, I did, hon. It's the story of one woman's personal journey and... sorry to say, all the men in the book seem incidental to the story.
Oh, just like in real life?
Now, don't be like that, Harry. Can't you keep an open mind for once, please?
In scene two, we rejoin Harry and Elizabeth in their car on the way home from Tinseltown. And action.
Well, what did you think of Eat, Pray, Love, sweetie?
That's easy to answer. All I can say is I can't help feeling abused.
Oh, for gosh sakes, Harry. I think you probably just feel that way because you were one of only three guys in the audience.
It's not that, Elizabeth. I just had no sympathy for the character Julia Roberts played. You can't honestly say you'd want someone like her as a friend.
Oh, that's not the point of the movie, dear. Remember, it's a woman's search for balance and a relationship with God. But I suspect that kind of thing means more to women than to men.
Balance? What a joke. She had a nice husband and a good job, and I call that balance. She didn't need to traipse all over Italy and India and Bali to get balanced.
But this is a true story about the author, Harry. Her name's Elizabeth Gilbert, and she actually went on such a journey. And the film shows how it changed her.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. It's no fun watching someone so self-involved for over 2 hours. After seeing this ridiculous movie, I have no idea what women want anymore.
Well... I see it's no use talking with you anymore about this.
And so we leave Harry and Elizabeth as they drive the rest of the way home. In silence. This is A.G. Hockery returning you, after a brief musical interlude, to our regular program, and hopefully to a more rational critique of Eat, Pray, Love, which is being released on DVD today, November 23rd, 2010.
Remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say, I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy. jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story. A fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
Hi, movie fans. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking AJ, Harry, and Elizabeth for bringing us the first Movie Attic Players production. And thanks also to Brian Ferry for his beautiful rendition of As Time Goes By. It definitely cooled us down a bit. Fortunately, our special guest today is award-winning journalist, author, publisher, and noted film critic Diana Sanger, who will help us discuss Eat, Pray, Love, as well as other movie versions of popular books, and a bit more calmly, I hope, as AJ pointed out. Diana will be with us in a few seconds, right after I check with Dickie Starr and Jazz Shaw to see if they're ready to help with the show. Ladies first, as always. Nikki, is everything set in our chat room?
It is. We're ready to go. And we've really enjoyed that little skit. That was awesome.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Nikki. And thanks to the people who signed up for the chat, as well as our other listeners, of course. And Nikki, I really appreciate the great job you did recording our first Movie Attic Players production. And we also appreciate Jazz for being here to co-host today. Hi, Jazz. Are you ready to start the ball rolling with some questions for Diana as soon as we bring her on?
I suppose so. Yeah, it's an interesting choice of topic, and I'm looking forward to it, I guess.
He's so enthusiastic. He sounds like Harry in the skit. But
well,
no,
I'm a little bit
pleasure.
Unprepared, Betty Jo, and I do just very briefly just want to let you know, because we need to be honest with the listeners, that I have not, believe it or not, seen this film. I saw the previews for it. I read your review. I felt I had been briefed fully at that point, and having heard that much about it, I longed for the missed opportunity to see either Steel Magnolias or be forced to watch episodes of The View every morning for the rest of my life. There was no way you were going to get me into the theater to watch Eat, Pray, Love.
But you don't mind asking questions about it, I'm sure. So it's my pleasure to welcome one of it's my pleasure to welcome one of our favorite guests back to Movie Attic Headquarters. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Betty Jo. I'm so happy to be back with you again and the listeners.
And we're so glad that you could be with us again today. I know how busy you are. Congratulations on your recent sweep of well-deserved awards from California press organizations. How many did you rack up this year?
Well, between two of them, 11.
Oh, my gosh. and many of those were for film reviews that you did. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
And one was for a report on the Robert Osborne Film Festival, which, of course, you talked about on our show along with Robert Osborne when he was here. So we're really, really happy that you're boosting that particular activity because I understand that it is in a little bit of trouble. Am I letting the cat out of the bag there?
Well, the award was for covering the first TCM Festival in Hollywood last year, and that was so successful, they're back again. Roberts Festival, which is in Georgia in April, is funded by the university, and as you know, what kind of trouble schools are in, so that one's kind of up in the air right now, sadly.
Well, if there's anything that we can do or our listeners can do, you'll let us know ahead of time, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good. And I want to be sure to mention, so that our listeners know, that you, as a publisher, were the first person who presented Harry and Elizabeth to readers, because you are the one, the Sands Publishing Company, published the paperback book. And, of course, Harry and Elizabeth, thank you very much for that. You've kind of started us on the road, and I know you once called it the little book that could, which I think is a good
Yeah, look what Harry and Elizabeth have done with that book. My goodness, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And deservedly
so. On thank you. And on Kindle, here I'm giving a shameless plug here. It is available on Kindle, Amazon Kindle, so I hope listeners will check it out. But as you know, today we're interested in Eat, Pray, Love, and I know that Jazz isn't too happy about that, but we're also interested in other film treatments of popular books. So I think Jazz has some opening questions for you, especially about Eat, Pray, Love. Jazz, you're on.
Well, thanks for putting me on, and welcome, Diana. We haven't actually talked in quite a while because I was gone from the show for quite some time, and it is a pleasure to hear your voice again.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
So we already know what the topic is. We've already introduced the listeners to it. So just go ahead and hit us, right where we live. What did you think about Eat, Pray, Love?
Well, I would advise you not to see it. Don't waste your time. And I'm afraid I agree with Larry, Lawrence, about a lot of his opinions about the movie. It left me very cold, very empty. It is a travelogue about a selfish woman trying to find herself. And I didn't read the book, but I've heard great things about the book. So somewhere there was a misconnection, I think, between the emotion in that book and what her spiritual and moral or whatever journey was. It just, to me, didn't transfer to the screen.
Ah, and, well, there's an overarching theme here that I know Betty Jo wants to talk about, and it was the entire sort of page-to-screen thing. A lot of movies that we see weren't just screenplays. They were adaptations, screenplays that were adaptations from books. So you review a lot of films. Are there any other recent examples that you can think of people might be familiar with where you think the book might have been fine, but perhaps they, dropped off the ledge a bit when they made a movie out of it?
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I had taken the opposite slant on ones that I thought worked good, but ones that I think didn't work. Well, that was certainly a big one.
Well, while you're thinking about that, Diana, I'm going to have to tell Harry that you agree with him, and he'll be happy to know that about Eat, Pray, Love. But I think that both of you have made some good points about the film. I did read the book. I read the book before I saw the movie, and the film just doesn't do justice to the author's work because it's a very richly textured memoir. And I think the film does have some good points to it. Julia Roberts is one of our best actresses today, and she's really beautiful to watch, and she makes the film less tedious than it could have been. I sort of enjoyed the gorgeous settings in the film, especially the ones in Italy, and I like the yummy food shots. Anytime spaghetti shows on scene, I go, I want to go out and get a spaghetti dinner. And then the men in the movie, I think, livened it up a bit, even though they were incidental, as Harry mentioned, to the story. Javier Bardem, Billy Crudup, James Franco, and Hadi Subianto, they really played interesting characters in the book. So I don't think it's a total disaster. But,
and Richard Jenkins.
In terms of jazz. Oh yes, Richard Jenkins.
Richard
Jenkins.
I think he's on my list this year for a supporting role for that very short but profound performance.
He's always good, and he always brings something special, I think, to the characters that he plays. So I'm going to think about putting him on my list too. So really, it isn't a total disaster, and I think a lot of women will enjoy the film. But Jazz was asking about movie versions of books that went kind of wrong. The one that comes to my mind right away is The Lovely Bones. because there's a book that I really got into, and I could hardly wait to see the movie. And the movie just, it was just terrible. There was this incongruous, you know, afterlife where the teenage girl who was murdered lived in this colorful, sort of almost Disney-like afterlife. And then there was the world of the serial killer that was going on. And it just seemed to me that the two sequences throughout the film didn't really work. So that one, I think, was not, you know, that there's a case when the book to screen didn't work out. And what about The Traveler's Wife? Did you see that?
I did see it. I didn't read the book, but it was okay, you know, it didn't blow me away, but having not read the book, there's something about when somebody reads a book and gets to experience all that in their own imagination. So you always have different images conjured up, and then when you go see the movie after, it's really hard sometimes to compare them because they are really two different beasts, you know, especially nowadays when they're adapted, because people throw in all kinds of stuff that weren't even in the books, and sometimes that's a real disservice. But The Travel was okay. Lovely Bones, I agreed with you. It was, parts of it were really good, and parts of it were just like way out there.
Yeah, I get so disappointed when I get my hopes up after I've read a book, and I think, oh, I can't wait to see the movie, because I'm always, when I read a book, that's the first thing I think about, is, you know, is this going to make a good movie? And I thought with that one, yes, I think it probably would. But at the other extreme, books that did work on screen, I'm wondering, what are your favorite films based on popular books?
Well, being I didn't have a lot of time, I just kind of gathered a short list. But I have The Godfather, of course. The Maltese Falcon, The Wizard of Oz, Catch Me If You Can, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Schindler's List, The Town, which is a newer one, Me and Orson Welles, which came out last year, and I loved the film, and Cider House Rule, with Tobey Maguire and Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah, what a great list. That is. I hadn't thought about Cider House Rules in a long time, and I had read that book too, and that movie was just, and Michael Caine in that was absolutely fantastic. Well, I think he did win an Oscar for that. What a great list. Catch Me If You Can, Cider House Rules, Me and Orson Welles. That's a film that not too many people have seen, Me and Orson Welles.
No,
I highly recommend it.
I think it opened and closed within an hour of each other.
Yeah. I really liked it. I did too, but it's on Netflix. So listeners, take a look at Me and Orson Welles. And, of course, everyone knows about The Godfather, The Wizard of Oz, Catch Me If You Can, which I think is Leonardo DiCaprio's best performance ever. And what about you, Jazz? What are the films that have been made from books that are your favorites? Maltese Falcon, I'll bet that's on your list.
You know what? I struggle with this one a lot, possibly even more than Diana, because a lot of the ones on the list, I have to confess to you, I never read the books originally. So I couldn't compare. I have never read the original, I'm embarrassed to say, book version of Maltese Falcon. Some of the ones that cropped up for me, and there are two of them from the same author, and I did want to say that the first film version that was done, and it was done in the late 1970s, of The Hobbit by J.R. Tolkien, it was just awful. It was just terrible. And it was a horrible film, one of the best books ever written, in my opinion, for that genre at least. And I've read it. I don't even know how many times. And then turn that around and look at the triple remake of The Lord of the Rings by the same author. I know there were a lot of purists who complained about it because there were certain factors missing from it, certain characters, because they were just such huge books with so many people. But I thought they were some of the best movies that I've seen in ages. I bought them on DVD. I watched them repeatedly. They were fantastic. So that's a good example of the wrong way and the right way to do something. I thought they were done fabulously. They didn't maybe do entire justice to the books, but they were great movies. And that first effort with The Hobbit, I understand there's a new one being made. We'll see how that goes. But it was just awful.
Right.
So that's like both sides of the coin there.
Yeah, that's a great observation, and I was I kind of have something similar to that in my feelings, of course, about the movie version of the first Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which I raved about in last week's show. So I don't want to talk too much more about that, but I just thought that was just a perfect. A screen version of a book. Everything just, came out on screen like it was in my imagination. But I hate to say that The Deathly Hallows was quite a disappointment. And,
oh, it sure was.
Yeah. So that's kind of.
I thought it was just me.
No, it was very bleak. It didn't have any of the colorful excitement of the other Harry Potter movies. And, of course, I didn't read that book. I did read the first one. So it may be that we're being unfair to it, Diana, because this may be fit what the author, what Rowling, put in her book. So,
well, I've been thinking about it for a couple of days because I disliked it so much, and I did not read the book. So, that's really not a very valid comparison for me. But I think that, the series definitely is, at this point, has to be for the people who have read the books and followed the whole series. Because
yes.
For new people to go in, kids loved these movies in the beginning, and they're no longer for young kids. They're too dark.
Right.
The characters themselves are like 20 years old now, and they're still hopping around doing magic. So there's not a lot of reality to it, but for someone to go in now and see them and not know the before, I don't think can grasp, what it's supposed to be about. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, what?
Yeah, I think that's my feeling. Although I do believe that the friendship, between the three main characters and their courage and their loyalty comes through loud and clear in The Deathly Hallows. And the three actors did really convincing acting.
Oh, they're amazing.
They're grown
amazing.
Up now, and they're grown up, and they're very serious. And I thought that saved the movie for me, but it's definitely not what I was expecting. And I think probably a lot of people feel the same way that you and I feel about it. But I did give it a thumbs up because I'm such an avid Harry Potter fan. I just, if this is the direction it's going, we'll just go with the flow and let it go that way. But in terms of books that are that I've read that then I saw the movie, my favorite has to be To Kill a Mockingbird. When I first read that book, I didn't think that it was movie material. Because it didn't have somebody getting their comeuppance, and it didn't have a lot of things that would be visual, I thought. And then when I saw this movie, oh my gosh, it got to me, and I guess it got to a lot of people too, because it won the Oscar for Best Actor for oh my gosh, he was just so wonderful in this, Gregory Peck, and it won the Best Screenplay, and it got, I think, 5 other nominations, and I believe Gregory Peck feels that this was his best work, and it was the first time I saw Robert Duvall, and I thought he was just great, and the film just haunted me. I mean, I just, to this day, there are scenes from that movie, a great courtroom drama, the poignant performances by the kids in that film, and so that definitely is my favorite. But I also thought Bridget Jones's Diary, the movie, was better than the book. I thought the book was just, you know, kind of dull. But the book, but the movie, and I think the casting was what was successful in that movie with Colin Firth and who is the other guy that was in it? I can't think right now. Oh my gosh.
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant, not Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. Hugh Grant. I have to mention Hugh Jackman every time.
Every breath
and
we can.
And then Renee Zellweger. every time I can. Renee Zellweger was good in it. I didn't think, you know, I thought, no, she's not going to work out, but she really, really did. So, have we picked yet our worst screen from book? Project. Mine has to be Angela's Ashes, but I'll let you go first on this with what your pick for the worst one would be, Diana, and then I'll tell you why picked Angela's Ashes.
Well, as I mentioned, I haven't. I don't have time to read that many books. Unfortunately, I would love to. I can't wait till the day I retire, huh? But I know there's got to be one, but I had concentrated more on ones that I liked and ones that I've read recently that are actually going to be filmed next year. So I can't really think of one.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
It didn't work. Yeah. So you want to hear about those?
Which? Yes, please.
One for next year? I read Water for Elephants, which is Sarah Gruen's book, and it's about the circus. It's this incredible story that juxtapositions from this young boy who joins the circus, and the following chapter is him 90 years old in a rest home, and the book goes on like that, which normally I don't like, but it works really well. Robert Pattinson is going to be playing Jacob, the main guy in the circus, but it also stars Reese Witherspoon and Christopher Waltz and Hal Holbrook, and I just love the book.
Gosh.
It was one of those that I only read in the car because I don't have time at home. So when Lou's driving, I read books, but, you know, you read three pages and you're there, and it's like, I want to finish, but but it's very good.
And what's the name of that book?
Water for Elephants. Water for Elephants.
Water for Elephants. Wow, that's definitely
And the editor
on
is Alan, Alan... He won from our critics group for editing 500 Days of Summer last year, and we actually had him down for a lunch, and he's actually the film editor on that as well. So
you did a great job on that, 500 Days of Summer. And then you were starting to talk about The Help. That's quite a popular book now.
Yeah, did you read that one?
I haven't read that one. It's on my list to read, but what
huge.
Does it look like as a movie?
It's huge. I'm excited. It too was a page turner, and it's about it was in the 60s when, you know, the southern states, Mississippi and them, were really having trouble with segregation, and it's about a young socialite who actually took it on herself to secretly get with all the maids from all the socialites' homes and get their real stories about the difference of how they were treated by the whites. And it was written by a real socialite who grew up in that time. And it's got a huge cast, too. Emma Stone, Viola Davis, Allison Janney, Sissy Tyson, Sissy Spacek, Bryce Dallas Howard.
I'll show up almost anywhere when Allison Janney shows up. I got to say, one of the most underrated actresses of our generation, I think, should have a lot more big screen work than just TV work. Just fabulous actress.
She's great.
She really is.
And then we have True Grit coming.
True Grit coming shortly,
in a couple weeks. And they just released the original book back out, True Grit, the novel. And so I read that, and they're saying that this movie is based more on that original book than the older film, John Wayne film. So it'll be interesting to see the difference in those. Jeff Bridges plays Rooster Cogburn. Josh Brolin's in it, Matt Damon. So looking forward to seeing that very shortly.
Oh, me too. And that's directed by the, or directed and written by the Coen brothers, I think. So
yes,
they
is.
Always
yes.
bring an edge. bring an edge
yeah.
to things.
I get frightened when I think of anybody messing around with any of the Dukes movies. Messing with my childhood memories.
And they're redoing them all, isn't it? I can't believe they're remaking all these things. It's like, and our children or grandchildren aren't going to really know what these real stories are about because they're morphing in them and redoing them so weirdly.
Yes.
And sometimes they're doing them well, but I get a little antsy about the remakes too. But I was just making a little list here about some of the movies that I've seen that I've read the books and some that I haven't read the books but seen the movie and I know that they're based on a book. But my gosh, Nicholas Sparks, Message in the Bottle, Jane Eyre, Rebecca, Nicholas Nickleby, Pride and Prejudice, Emma, Sense and Sensibility, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, Around the World in 80 Days, Carrie, The Shining, Stephen King's books really transfer to the screen. I think The Shining is the best one that he did. The Time Machine, The Count of Monte Cristo, Alice in Wonderland, and you can just go on and on. So we know that filmmakers do look towards novels.
I just remembered one I hated from the book.
Oh.
Alice in Wonderland. Last year's with Johnny Depp. Or was that? That's this year's. It's this year's. I love Johnny
really?
Depp.
Yes,
but
it is
this year. I did not like that movie.
Really?
Oh,
I enjoyed
well,
that.
Nobody's perfect, Diana. Nobody's perfect.
Well, they didn't have...
Did you like it, Jazz?
They only
I enjoyed
the book
it quite
was...
a bit. My wife and I went, and I don't... You know, I'm not going to rate it on, you know, how well it stays true to the original version, to the book, things like that, but I thought it was a very well-done interpretation, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I think it
stays fairly close.
It only had, like, a few seconds of each of the main characters that make the story. I mean, they were on the screen, like, each one of them, like, less than 3 minutes. And I don't know. It just kind of went south for me.
Well, it's
although
a short book.
Telling
it's like
Carter.
10 pages, and you're making an hour and a half, two-hour movie out of it. I mean, you got to add some things in there. You know?
I think so. Well, I feel about Angela's Ashes like you do about Alice in Wonderland. That book, that's the best memoir ever written. This Frank McCourt wrote about his growing up in poverty in Ireland. And, of course, he did emphasize the hardships that he went through, but he did it with such great humor. And my husband and I had read, that's another book that we had read out loud to each other, and we were just, we could hardly wait for the movie, and the movie comes out, and it's all the sad, bleak growing up, you know, none of the humor that the author had. Well, the author didn't do the screenplay, and that was obvious, because whoever did the screenplay left the humor out, and that's just kind of like leaving yeast out of bread. it just didn't work.
It was very dark, and then they sent us the soundtrack for consideration for voting, and I put that in my car, and I swear it made me wanted to drive off a bridge. It was so gloomy and
downer
and depressing, and I thought, who would vote for this?
There's a glowing recommendation.
that's right. Well, I'm wondering, Nikki, if Nikki has any comments from the chatters or any report that she would like to give us. Nikki, are you... are you getting any comments from the chat that you'd like to share with Diana about films that have been made from books?
We are. I guess, so Mo said that Lovely Bones was a disappointment to him.
Ah.
Yep. I haven't read the book. I'm the type of person that reads, I watch the movie first and then read the book because I have never, with the exception of Lord of the Rings, and I agree totally 100% with Jazz, I have never seen a movie after I've read the book that was better than the book. But if I do see the movie first and then I read the book, I usually like them both. So it works out good for me. And then everybody so Jane in the chat room, she thinks all the Harry Potter books were a great success in adaptation. And then she wants to know how you guys feel with Gone with the Wind compared to the book.
Oh, great. That's a wonderful question, because I should have put that on the list probably at the top. I just thought it was a great adaptation. I mean, it just, again, it was like the first Harry Potter movie. The characters just seemed like the characters from the book, and the setting, everything about it. Do you agree, Diana, on Gone with the Wind?
I have to be like Jazz and admit I never read that book. But
oh,
I love
no.
the film. I saw it first time when I was 7 years old, and I think I've seen it about six times since.
And we're making ourselves sound illiterate. I feel terrible because I have read, I mean, literally, not hundreds, thousands of books. I'm a voracious reader. We half
too.
Of my house is stuffed with books, but a lot of them are just books that don't lend themselves to film, or nobody, you know, ever thought to do it. I know we're skipping around, Betty Jo, but there is one question on the list, because I know we're so quick to run out of time here. But would it be appropriate for you, for everybody to jump in and just... Are there any books, because we're right on that subject, that have not been made into movies that, you know, all of us feel should be made? And I only had one set of suggestions, and I wanted to throw it over to Diana, but I would love to see some more films made out of the Nero Wolfe series of mysteries by Rex Stout. There were a few that were done by A&E, made for TV movies. I'd love to see sort of a film noir. They could even do it in black and white. You know, get that old mystery feel back, and that was such a great character, and it's been done on film, and it's such a rich, wide library. They could stuff two or three of them in one feature-length film, because they were just such great books. And personally, I'd love to see more mystery movies come out.
I agree with you. We are lacking that, and I love watching the old film noirs, and just like you, you know, getting into that, you know, who did what to who, and then being surprised, and sometimes pleasantly, sometimes madly. But I agree, that's a big facet we're missing in film today.
And I would love to see that, too. But there's one book that just stays in my mind, and just if I knew how to go about getting it made into a movie, I would do it. And Diana, it's a book that you published. It was by Bill Seaton, and it's called My 7 Years of Captivity, Tales and Misadventures at the San Diego Zoo. And that's one of the funniest books that I have ever read. It would be just a great vehicle for Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey. And the scenes in it, I mean, the funny scenes with the animals. Do you know whether anyone has offered to make that into a movie, Diana?
I know Bill has had it to a couple of producers up there, and they are considering it. But, you know, the Hall of Hollywood's, like, closed down now. You got to know somebody to even get a movie made. It doesn't even matter about the money anymore, but... you're right, and I appreciate you saying that. It is an extremely funny book, and he is a funny person. And, yeah, that would be good. I'll have to tell him you
said
that.
I would just love to see. please do, because I think it would just be a big hit. So somebody ought to get behind that. And then the other book that I think just cries out to be a movie, and I think some people are thinking about it, but I haven't seen much progress made. It's a book called The Hummingbird's Daughter by Luis Urrea, and it's just absolutely got suspense, humor, it's inspirational. It takes place in pre-revolutionary Mexico, and it's about an illegitimate Indian girl who became the celebrated saint of Cabora. So it's based on a true story. And there's a part in there, of Teresita. That's the little Indian girl. Her father is a very, very dashing character, and it's a part that Antonio Banderas is just born to play Be Still My Heart. So I'm hoping that one gets made into a movie. And if you haven't read The Hummingbird's Daughter, you're in for a wonderful treat, listeners. So I highly recommend that.
I've never been so glad to hear Antonio Banderas' name mentioned, by the way, just because it's such a relief that she didn't say Hugh Jackman.
I know, right?
I said Hugh Jackman.
My
accident.
Bridget, Bridget Jones's Diary. I thought he was in Bridget Jones's Diary.
Go ahead. I just had one more thing really quick from the chat room. We did not mention any of the Twilight books, although I'm not really unhappy that we didn't. I think that the adaptation of a book that was horrible was adapted fine. But that's not how they feel in the chat room. There's some huge fans in the chat room who thought that they did a great job of adapting those books. So
yeah, but that whole genre, Betty Jo, isn't that genre just been done to death? I mean, Interview with a Vampire was a great book. It was a mediocre film at best. They never went on and did any serious big screen productions of the rest of Anne Rice's books, for example. And I just think that vampire genre is just getting beat to all you know what.
Well, I don't agree. I'll have to be the one to dissent on that, because there'll always be people who love vampires, and the vampire films and books are very, very interesting. I did not read any of the Twilight books, but I did enjoy the first movie, and I think the fans are really loving those films. So it's kind of like Diana said, Harry Potter films now are just, you know, for the fans that have read the books and are following through. So I think Twilight is probably the same. I cannot believe that we are almost out of time. And so it's been just so fascinating, Diana, to talk with you about this topic, and we're so pleased that you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us. So thank you very much for being such a terrific guest again today.
Well, you're quite welcome. And real quickly, I have to tell you, because you are going to die, you have to see Burlesque. It is sensational.
Oh, that's my Thanksgiving movie, and it's a musical.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned Burlesque, because I'm just really excited about getting to see a musical on
Thanksgiving. Okay, I'll confess, I'm going to watch Burlesque.
All right.
It's awesome. Awesome.
At our next show, maybe we can talk a little bit about Burlesque. So thanks again, Diana, and we hope that you'll come back and be a guest again soon on our show. It's always great to have you here. This is Betty Jo Tucker signing off with a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support, and with special thanks to Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw, who make Movie Addict Headquarters such a treat to host. Thanks also to A.J. Hockery today for his help with the Movie Addict players, and to Harry Lawrence for his contribution. Also to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in, we hope you enjoyed the show today. Please come back next time for an informative and timely 2010 holiday film update. And we'll probably talk about Burlesque too. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L. realtalkreviews.com. And also check out Diana Sanger's excellent film sites at classicmovieguide.com and reviewexpress.com. Now to close the show, here's AJ Daniels to take us out with the song we dedicate to all our wonderful Blog Talk Radio listeners. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
shall love you